fashion.
Horizontal shift correction formula, and you estimated the amount of shift based on the NFW profile, but in fact the sub-halos that reside within post-halo are affected significantly by tidal forces, and they have some truncation as a result. Did you look into the real halos that should exist in these sub-halos?
Now that's an important question. We haven't looked at it in our own simulation, so what I think is based on what it says in the papers of Talia's group and also Moore's group, where they say they see significant effects of truncation in the outer parts. So certainly, if you take a halo at a sub-halo at early times, follow what happens to it after it's fallen in, the outer parts get stripped off first, of course, and so you see deviations in the outer parts. Once they get close to the center, then you start to see the maximum velocity be going down. And there's not much, and I don't know, not much information in the papers, so you should ask them directly what happens in the inner regions, although at least Ben in one of his papers comments that the inner regions, the profiles look similar to the profiles of similar mass objects which are not in the center. But I think this is a detailed question that needs to be looked at carefully.
Removing the central maximum circle velocity, if you remove the maximum circle velocity more than 20%, the whole halo dies after that. So it's very difficult. I have also a question. Because of my results, I mentioned we already take into account some effect, the square root of 3, so it's not a line of sight velocity, but actually it's a dimensional velocity. And the second, you don't take rotation velocity, maximum rotation velocity, you take velocity distribution, dispersion, which is much flatter.
What your paper says is you take the maximum of the M over R curve, yep, for the satellite velocity, and then you divide by root 3. So the factor, the shift that I showed was the additional shift after those two effects.
But you shouldn't be taking rotation velocity and a curve rotation velocity. You should be taking curve of velocity distribution, random velocity, which is much flatter than rotation curve. So that correction is much smaller.
But that you didn't say, that's not what you said in your paper, but fine. Okay, that makes a difference.
Okay, I mean, we need to speak scientifically.
Actually, though, it doesn't really matter, Tony, because I didn't actually use your results, if you remember, to ask where I should move the points. I took the actual values of maximum circle velocity that I calculated, so I don't think that matters.
What I mean is that the velocity dispersion is very flat to the center. So it doesn't matter. What you're saying is that take this only central part. The central part has a small velocity dispersion, and this is where galaxy is.
Yes, but Talia...
But velocity dispersion goes very, very flat.
An isothermal sphere has a velocity dispersion which is exactly constant all the way to the center, and yet has a rotation curve which is solid body in the inner regions.
Not on that basis. I think that's a numerical issue, but there is still not forward.
I had a question for Simon and one for Rosie, which is sort of related, but not... Obviously, but can I? What do I do? Simon first, Rosie first.
Rosie first.
Okay, Rosie. Let me ask the question I had. It's like when you were talking about the bulge, you said that it was a distinct component, and I think you meant by distinct from the disk in terms of. I thought you meant from the disk, because that was my question. That distinction between the stellar halo and the bulge, is that a kinematic? Because it's not obvious from what Simon was telling us that one would expect some kind of very clear-cut distinction between the two. So could you specify what you meant by distinct?
Well, I think it is distinct in terms of such a brightness profile. It has a very different brightness profile than the stellar halo. And it's also
I
So if you go through that, you find surface brightnesses which are quite consistent, but it would actually also reproduce the other things you're talking about that was going through, I think.
the 1.7 and it's at 1, so you're down to, it's...
Our initial model was probably slightly too thick because of the difficulty of getting...
Right, that's what I'm getting at. What I wanted to say was this. If the claim in our paper was that you could afford to have accreted 3% of the mass of the disk in the last 5 billion years, so now you take the scale height of the stars which are 5 billion years old, that's more like 300 parsecs rather than a kiloparsec. And then you say... No, that's of all stars. That's of all stars. I only want the ones that are 5 billion years, the ones that are formed in the last 5 billion years, to see whether they would have been... It's more like 300. My point is that probably you could have afforded a satellite half of the mass of the one you have. Okay? So half as much would have been 5%. So it might be that the 3% accreted in the last 5 billion years should move to 5%, but it clearly means that you can't have a lot of major mergers for a lot of galaxies within like ours. So it might be 5% per billion years rather than 3% per billion years, but it's not a huge amount. Mergers can't be very common. And the other point I wanted to make is on the origin of bulges and spheroids. As far as I know, if you take the spherical components, and this is really more to Rosie's apropos of the buckling thing, of our galaxy or other spiral galaxies, and you just take their properties and you ask somebody, is this an elliptical or is this a bulge plus halo plus spheroid or whatever you want to call the spiral, is that in general people can't tell the difference. But there are no properties that say, oh, this is a bulge of a flattened galaxy and this one is an elliptical of the same luminosity. Of course, there is a difference in the average luminosity. So, therefore, it seems hard for me to imagine that buckling of a disk could produce that bulge, because you find many elliptical galaxies which look identical to the bulges, but with no disk at all.
Thank you. Jerry's assertion that you cannot tell the difference here between between the bulges and ellipticals. First of all, they're for the, well, even now there are Enchon bars that clearly kinematically, say Bureau and Freeman and Koiken have found distinct kinematic big signatures. They lie above the bidding line. They're peanut shaped structures, and these one can certainly distinguish from miniature ellipticals, and they somewhat overlap the luminosity range of the low luminosity ellipticals. Secondly, there are exponential. There is a class of clearly exponential bulges that have been pointed out by Corto and Carollo and others that seem to be different in many ways from the art of the order.